himself alive. And darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And now we'll see how great, how great. In his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God of three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God.
How great
is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great, how great.
In terms of his power and his ability, but he's great in his love and his affection and his desire to promote each of us into his best things. Our God is a great God. He's so good. He's so good.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow. serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you.
Say, as from the Father, your hearts I see, and you will follow me. Your hearts are those hearts that have chosen to come after me. And from Father's heart to yours, he sees your heart. He loves your heart. Father would say, that is the heart I love to see in my children, the one I see in you. Keep following me, kids. Children, I love you. I have great things for you. You are my precious ones. And I love the heart I see in you.
Tiambedioso calabedita do ande adiosa coende biasa conde diabasonde da basciata co aladignone. Diabasote chiata, di andamassito coalada. Diande poco pocundi adiasa diava sunde ea do aladienda co ea basiata tosa diava donde alamedita a even today, this day, this hour, there is more for you than you have previously received. In salvation, in baptism, in the Spirit, all are more available to you. You know, there is a move coming upon the whole earth and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Are you prepared for what's going to happen? Are you prepared? Are you in a mode to receive that which I am about? Are you ready to be a larger than life witness? Are you ready to have the ear to hear and eye to see what I'm doing so that you're blending in with the move? It's all in your hands individually.
I felt like the Lord was saying, come and crawl up on my lap. Just come closer. I want you to come up on my lap. And what I saw was, I have a lazy boy chair at home, and when I kick my feet out, there's one chair, and the dogs are allowed to come sit on that chair. And so when I put my feet out, one of the dogs will come and lay right between my legs. And she does that regularly. She likes to do that. And sometimes I have to call her, and she'll come and she'll stand there, and I have to pat it and say, come on, Coco, come on, come on, Coco, come on, come on. And sometimes I get a little frustrated, like, come on, you stupid dog, get up here. God doesn't get frustrated with us, but he's calling us, come on. And you think, okay, I crawled up on his lap before. And I think what Lee was just saying is that, yeah, you did. Now do it more. Do it deeper. He's got more for us, more depth, more than we've understood. And the last part of the picture I got was I saw a rope with all my junk, and I'm pulling it towards that chair to climb up on there, and he's calling me, and I can't get up there because I'm hauling all this junk. It's not yours to haul. Well, it's my junk. He took it. But it's my junk. Or you can give it to him. But it's my junk. And it's your junk until you let it go. And we learned last week, Dad, I think you taught us, that he knew about your junk before he created the earth, before he created Adam and Eve, before the garden. He knew all of your junk, and he had a plan and a purpose to save you and to pay for all of that junk. And he's saying, come. And we're going, I can't. And he goes, it's not yours, it's mine. Just crawl up in my lap deeper. That's what I felt the Lord was saying.
So, Lord, here we are. Wrapped up in our own little worlds. Realizing that we do cling to things that are not of any value. And this morning we would like to lay it aside. Pursue you and receive all that you have for us. Anything that you would offer, anything that you would offer, would be better than anything that we would have out of this present evil age. Anything you would offer would be better. So this morning we tune our hearts and turn our attention to receive from you out of your abundance. We come, Father, in Jesus' name.
Now I want you just to go ahead and hop up there on his lap. I want you to keep your eyes closed. And I want you just to be on his lap. Be in the place where you're receiving his love right now. I want you just to stay right there. I want you to receive, because he has much to give to you in that place. And it's the place of knowing his love and knowing that it's his ability to put into you. It's not even your ability to receive. It's his ability to put into you that matters. And so you're there before him. And in that place of receiving his love, I just want you to say something back to him. And you'll, so let's say it together. Say, I love you back. Say, I love you back.
I love you back.
Say, you're so good.
You're so good.
Thank you for all you have given to me.
Thank you for all you have given to me.
Thank you that you've been so faithful to me.
So faithful to me.
Thank you that you're always giving me more.
Thank you, you're always giving me more.
Thank you that you've put me in this day where you're pouring out yet more.
Thank you for giving me.
Put me in this day where you're always giving more. I love you, Father.
I love you, Father.
Betsy, can we sing that chorus one more time? All my life. Holy Spirit, James.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living. Lord,
tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free, when my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close, or think can compare. You're our living Lord. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence,
Father, we recognize that you are always present. One of your attributes is that you are omnipresent God, always present. And yet so often we Live as if you were absent. And this morning we pray that you would cause us to be much aware of your presence. You are always present. May we celebrate the reality of your presence. May we contemplate your presence. May our hearts be tuned to hear what you are saying to your church today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things the Lord spoke to me this week, you know, every once in a while he talks to me, and you get the benefit of hearing from some of what he says to me, not all of it. He reminded me this week that when he talks to me, when he talks to me, he primarily talks to me for me. How many of you would expect that maybe when God talks to you, he's talking to you for you? And many times what we do is we think he's talking to me about my wife or Joe or somebody else, you know, and our intent is to hear in order to tell Joe where to go. Well, normally God doesn't tell us where to go, but I want you to just be alert to this reality. When God speaks to you, first of all, say, how does that apply to me? What am I supposed to do with that? And then, after you've worked that through, is there anybody else that needs this revelation? Are you with me? That doesn't seem particularly deep or significant, but I want you to know that that's the heartbeat of God. When he speaks to you, he has something to say to you. It's worthwhile hearing it. And then, perhaps, somebody else will benefit from it as well. This week, we've got a big week coming. Actually, on Tuesday, the Schultzes will be arriving in the area. And we could just pray that we would have hearts that would be prepared to receive what the word of the Lord is to us. How many of you would like to receive from the Lord this week? Let me tell you something else. While I'm at it, I'll just give you one more clue. You don't need my instruction as much as you need the Lord to put something into your heart. My instruction very often would go to your head, and that doesn't help a whole lot. You might know what you ought to do already in your head. What you need is a revelation of the heart to enable you to do it. It's just a small drop from here to there, but it makes a world of difference. The fact is, it makes an eternal difference. When what is here becomes reality here, it's an eternal event, and it impacts eternity, not just the moment of time. All right, now I'm getting done. George is going to preach this morning, so I got to shut up so that he can get to it. Schultzes are coming, and this is what I started to say. When the Schultzes come, they have things to say to us. And they will be from the Lord. And I would like us to have hearts that are prepared to hear the word of the Lord. So let's just pray that this right now. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord as Linda and Fount share from you. May we be responsive to you, receptive to you, your voice, and receive the word of the Lord to ourselves. Lord, open our hearts, prepare our hearts to receive, we pray, in Jesus' name. In your bulletin, you have a little folder that says Refreshing Times with the Father. That's a picture of what's to come with the Schultz. Friday night, 7 o'clock, we'll be meeting here, a small time of worship, and then we'll move right into the beginning of the instruction that Fount and Linda have for us. Saturday, there are two sessions, one at 10, one at 1, with lunch in between, and I would challenge you to make a real effort to be here for all the sessions that they share in. And I'd like you to pray
just not just for yourself, but for the church, that we would have hearts that are open to receive for him, from him. Also, in Sunday morning, they'll be here sharing one last time on Sunday morning. So this week is a big week of receiving from the Lord through the Schultzes. As per normal, I have made an error in the bulletin. And I just want you to know that I did it again. I keep thinking I'm going to fix things, and then everything changes. The error this time says that there's food pantry on Thursday. There is not food pantry on Thursday, so ignore that and forgive me for being such a klutz. Bless you. Have a good morning.
We had a great food pantry this last Thursday night. Just a lot of great stuff was happening. There's two testimonies in particular that I'd like to give. The second of which, Josiah, I'd like to not be recorded. So in a moment, I'd like you to stop it for me. First one is just a delightful one for me. about 7 months ago, a woman came in and she was pregnant. She was, I think, about 6 weeks pregnant. And she was very upset because her body was giving all the indications of miscarriage. And at about the same time in her pregnancy, the last two times that they had managed to become pregnant, she had lost her baby. And so she was very upset, and she asked for prayer. And this last Thursday, little baby Emmett arrived at Food Pantry. He was 2.5 weeks old. And we just delight in the healing power of God, and the God who saves in every part brought us that little. He's just a little tiny guy, much, much smaller than my grandson over there. He was, trust me, he really was a lot smaller. Smaller than I ever saw my grandson be, actually, as it turns out. Anyway, that was one. So those are just a couple of quick testimonies from this most recent food pantry.
George, if people are wondering Mom and Becky are watching the service.
Mom and Becky are watching the service. That's why we've got the video phones going. Okay, so. You can pray for my mom and for Becky. Both of them could use some health. All right.
There's two other things I just think about this last food pantry. One is that Betsy's been doing a class with, it's supposed to be a half-hour long class right at the beginning of food pantry for people that wanted to be in the class. And this last class, this would be the last one that she was going to do. And it's supposed to be a half hour. I think it was an hour and a half, and we had to eject her from the room because we needed the room. But the people that were there were so receptive. They did not want to quit. And I was in and out of that class because I've got other assignments, but when I could get a break and go in, it was rich, it was real, and it was very interesting. The last item that this last week, food pantry, just an interesting thing happened. George went in, I think it was your third event, wasn't it? The third meeting in there. He goes in and introduces himself, and he says the prayer, and then the computer broke down. And it's George's computer, which is 182 years old, and it really it's held together with chewing gum and baling twine, and it's ridiculous. I don't know why he doesn't get going with his new computer. When you see him, ask him why he's stalling. But this computer broke down again. And so they told me, everything stops, you know. The computer is the next key to going forward, and everything stops. The line stops, and everything stops. And so they told me, I went in there to tell George that the computer needs him. And he's blabbing, and he just got done praying. And I said, they need you in the other room for the computer, so go do that. And he says, okay, you do this. And so here I am standing to do this. And I want you to know that I can blab about anything anytime I want to. But I was trying to do what we're supposed to do, which is hear from the Lord and speak what the Lord is saying. Is that what we...
That's the scoop.
That's the idea. So I get out there, and suddenly it's in my lap. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do this time? And, you know, I have stories out of the Bible with the applications, probably 100 of them. And I couldn't get anything out of that. And now I'm beginning to feel stupid. You ever feel stupid? Oh, I felt stupid. And I said, well, let's pray. And they said, we've already prayed. And so I said, well, let's pray again. Because I need it. Because I don't... Can you believe this? A pastor... I actually said this. Can you believe it? A pastor that hasn't got anything to say? And of course they laugh. And I said, well, let's pray again. And so we prayed again. We get done praying and still felt stupid in that I couldn't quite focus on a story out of the Bible that I could share with them. Obviously, I could pick any story I wanted to, but what is it that the Lord wanted said in this hour? And after, what was it? Yeah. Please wake up, Lord. Well, anyways, eventually I sensed the Lord say, do this. And I stepped into doing this with the person right in the front row, got them to talk to me, and began to tell them about how God loved them personally, specifically them, and called the whole group to be aware that God is a personal God. That's always been His desire. It's never been anything else. It's always been His desire to be a personal God to every man, woman, and child. This is the message of the gospel. God is interested in you personally. Well, anyways, no big deal. But what I'm recognizing is that not always do we find it easy to follow the leading of the Lord. Because sometimes He's a little bit slow in coming and you end up looking stupid. Well, that was my big event of last Thursday night.
Well, I want to say, Dad doesn't even know this, but realistically, I often will come to those meetings. I'll preach three, possibly four times. And I don't necessarily have to preach the same thing each time. So, I'm always just kind of like just putting my antenna up. Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be preaching? And actually, the first two times, I felt like it was the same. You know, He had given me a message that I did twice, okay? But the third time, which is this time, I was like, this is going to be something different, isn't there? Okay, and I sensed that there was to be something different. And so, you know, I'm up there. And I begin, but I'm beginning tentatively, just kind of feeling it out. As it turns out, I'm going to go and work on the computer. But the truth is that the Spirit had told me that there was going to be something different. I didn't know that I wasn't going to be the guy to talk about it. But I don't know. I just think that God is good, and He does what He pleases, and He accomplishes the very best that could happen.
You could have warned me about that.
Well, I didn't know until you told me. All right, I'm going to rush through some stuff, some stories. I want you to listen. Today, there's a principle, a few significant principles I want to bring out today. And so walk with me through some relatively familiar stories. And let's walk it through. 1 Samuel chapter 8, all the elders of Israel gathered together. They came to Samuel. They said to him, behold, you have grown old and your sons do not walk in your ways. So now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. Okay, so Samuel, you've been great, but your sons aren't great. We need a king. The thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel, and they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Listen to what the Lord said to Samuel. He says, listen to the voice of the people. There's a key principle there. God actually listens to the voice of the people. Woo! That's a big deal. God listens to the voice of the people in regard to all they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Key principle. God says, I'm going to listen, and I want you, my prophet, to listen to the people, even though they are sitting there doing exactly the opposite of what they should be doing. They're rejecting me. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. But listen to them and give them a king. Now, here's the deal. Before this time, there was no king in Israel. Now, God had sent judges and you know, Joshua and Moses and then, you know, Samson and, you know, all sorts of guys, okay, had come in and done great things. But there'd never been a king, and God didn't really, that wasn't the plan. God said, listen to the people. First, he had Samuel go and tell the people all the terrible things that would happen if they had a king. Oh, you know, he's going to take your sons and he's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your seed and your vineyards. He's going to take all the best of everything. He's going to be, and then you'll cry out. But, you know, the Lord will not answer you in that day, according to verse 18. But the people refused to listen. The people refused to listen and said, no, we want to have a king. Lord said to Samuel, verse 22, listen to their voice and appoint them a king. So this whole notion of king was a bad idea. It was man's idea. They said, this is a good idea. They decided they liked this idea. God said, it's not a good idea. All these consequences will happen. They said, we want the king anyway. God said, okay, you can have what you want. God does that pretty regularly. Yep, you get to have what you want. But it's going to hurt you. I don't really want you to do it because it's going to hurt you, but yes, you can have what you want. But let me just tell you something else about God. God's not just sitting there watching you get what you want, even though it's not good for you. In the back of His mind, He's got a redemptive plan. Okay? He's going to actually take your bad idea, okay, and He's going to do something really amazing with it. The truth is, mankind has all these great ideas, and we all think we know how to do whatever it is that we should do or whatever. And you know, we'd be better off listening to Him in the first place, because you know what? He's right about the consequences. He's right about how difficult it will be. He's right, actually, as it turns out, about everything. But He's also so amazingly good. So He takes this notion of a king and He gives them Saul. And as you guys probably remember, most of you, Saul doesn't work out so good. He started out well, things looked good, then things went downhill in a big hurry. Boom, crash. And then God chooses a man after His own heart, David, and He makes him king. And he's excited about this and he loves the guy. And the guy does great, but he also screws up, right? And this whole notion of a king, you know, looked horrible, bad, good. Then, you know, then David's sons and grandsons and great-great-great-grandsons, you know, some of them make a huge mess out of things, okay, and lead Israel into horrible idolatry and then slavery and oppression. All these things come back and forth, back up and down. Some good kings, some bad kings. It's a big mess, but in the end, God takes man's bad idea and redeems it fully by taking a son of David, this guy named Jesus, and exalting him as the perfect king. He takes him and he makes him the perfect king, not like those other kings, not like the kings that everybody, you know, got because they wanted a stupid king. But instead, Jesus redeems the very notion of kingship, turns it upside down on its head. He's the servant of all. He's the humble one. He becomes Himself the sacrifice. He is the lover, the salvation. He is the king. He redeems the whole notion of kingship. Even though it was birthed in rebellion against God, He redeems it and does something not just acceptable, but even better than acceptable, amazingly good. And He turns the notion of kingship into something that He offers to us. A delightful, life-giving, royal notion. Way better than anything that we'd ever understood. But let me point out to you, Jesus focused on the Father. He loved the Father. He pointed people back to the Father. The redemptive plan was actually God Himself. Okay, so let's note that the people said no to God, yes to king, and in the end, God said, okay, here's a king that is me, okay, and so now there's something good here, okay. Everything that you had, all your ideas, they were bad, but I'll redeem it by turning it on its head and giving you back to me, myself. Here's your king, Jesus, me, myself. The redemptive plan was actually God Himself back to the original plan of knowing God, listening to Him, Himself. I'll read to you one more verse out of that. They've not rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king over them. This is God talking to Samuel. And he says, like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I have brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, and that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they're doing to you also. What's he talking about when he says that? What's he looking at when he looks at the history of people rejecting him and turning to other gods? Well, if you back up one book, the last verse out of the book of Judges says, in those days there was no king in Israel, right? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Let me just tell you something. Everybody doing what's right in his own eyes actually isn't a solution for much, okay? You know? There's a whole lot of mess and muss that comes out of everybody doing what is right in their own eyes. The reality is that when people do what's right in their own eyes, conflict arises. It's called the, you know, strong survive and the weak get oppressed, right? That's often what happens. But let me say that in all of that time, every man had the law. Every Israeli there knew the law, but they didn't do it. Every man knew what was right, but he found he was not capable of perfect obedience. Every man instead did what was right in his own eyes. The problem wasn't that they had the law. The problem was that man was not capable of doing the law. The problem really in the root of it is that mankind was attempting to live independently of Father. Now we know that that's not God's best plan. Just like the kingship wasn't God's best plan, this also was not God's best plan. But in fact, it was a rejection of God's best plan. Indeed, it was a rejection of God, every man doing what was right in his own eyes. But God accepts man's plans. And in doing so, has a redemptive plan. Let's remember where the law came and what, when that came in. Out of Exodus chapter 19, we read, Moses went up to God and God called from the mountain saying, here's some things I want you to talk to Jacob and the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Listen here. Here's what he says. Listen. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Every one of you will hear from me, know me, you will walk with me, you will be in obedience to my voice. This is your destiny. This is my plan. So this is a plan of God. This is Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. In verse 8, the people say, all that the Lord has spoken we'll do. But just one chapter later, just, you know, 20 verses later, they say something entirely different. They've got a better plan. Ready for the better plan? All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and they stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen. But do not let God speak to us or we'll die. Now God says, listen to me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to walk with you. You listen to me. And the people said, okay, that sounds great. And then they start to get a little worried about things. This is a pretty big guy. We're scared of this guy. We're not going to do that. Moses, we want an intermediary. We want something between us and God. We're scared.
Just notice that originally the offer was that they would be a kingdom of, does anybody remember the next word?
Priests.
Priests. every one of them, a whole nation of priests. That was the original plan.
Everyone would be in connection with God himself.
Therefore, able to function as a in the royal priesthood.
Right.
That was the original plan. You will be a kingdom of priests. That's incredible. I mean, God was calling Israel to be a kingdom of priests. I just quoted scripture. That's
the whole of them would be a priesthood. Notice this. Notice this. Every single one of them would be priests, right? A kingdom of priests. He would be their king and they would have a priest. They have a priest. They would be the priests. But instead, they said, we need something different. We need the... You just tell us what to do. And so I'll come from this, you know, the Ten Commandments and then bunches of others. And now we've got a limited priesthood and we've got all of these. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you something. That wasn't the original plan of God. It was somebody's good idea. Actually, if you look in the previous chapters, you can see a hierarchical structure being put into place by Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, okay? Let me just say something. That's not a kingdom of priests. That's not the best option people choose. Man, we have great ideas. You know, we just have great ideas. God, we'll fix it. We'll figure it out, God. We'll get it done right. Instead, we should maybe say, ooh, we'll listen and we'll follow. Because God has this really, truly great plan. And our plan sort of muss things up and make a mess out of stuff. You see, law that was independent of hearing God was not God's idea. It was man's idea. And that's not God's best plan, but man's idea. It was a rejection of God's best plan, a rejection of God. But God accepts man's plan, but in doing so, God still has a redemptive plan. I repeat these phrases because I want you to understand. God's so much bigger than us. The even our really dumb God-rejecting plans, okay, if we'll somehow get back toward Him, the next thing you know is He'll redeem us. Even maybe redeem aspects of our plan. Jesus was king, right? Jesus is king. That's good, right? We like Jesus, our king. He was a different king than all the kings that came before. But God takes and redeems even man's poor plans. You see, in this case, we have the law. And the law was good for one thing, showing you that you couldn't do it. That was it. That's the good thing about the law. The one good thing about the law is that it shows you that you are not capable of keeping law. That does a good job. Then there comes a new covenant. And guess what? God's redemptive plan out of this bad idea is a good idea. His name's Jesus. And He's the new covenant, and He's the sacrificial lamb that brings us into the new covenant. And His blood is the cup of the new covenant. There's an agreement that we come into with Him by faith. He Himself was the fulfillment of the law that we could receive by faith, so that we would no longer be under law but under grace. Jesus Himself was the turning of man's plan upside down and back to God, back to God's original plan, back to the whole notion of hearing and walking and living with God. You see, God's plan has always been that you and I should live, and every person should live, in complete dependence upon a flow of instructions that is specific for you and your life and your circumstances. His purpose has always been that. You look back in the pre-Moses time frames, okay, and you see a great man of God after great man of God doing exactly that. You have Enoch. Remember Enoch? He walked with God and then was not because God took him. You have Noah. Noah did what he heard God commanding him, and he found favor in the sight of God. You have Job. And Job trusted God even though God took away everything except his life, all the way up until his health. Everything else and his health. And then he trusted God. Even if you'll kill me, I'll still trust him, says Job. Job says, I will trust him even if he slay me. And so God upgrades his relationship with him. Here's men who heard and walked with God. And then you've got Abraham, and he's the called the father of the faithful because he heard God and he believed God. And you know, for decades in some cases, he believed God about a promise. And that faith, that belief, was counted to him as righteousness. Now Abraham did go ahead and make some plans, right? You remember some of the plans that Abraham did. Several times he made really stupid plans, okay? And got into trouble here and got into trouble there. Actually, one of his great plans was, you know, he hooked up with his wife's, you know, maid. And we still have Mid-Eastern problems because we've got all sorts of problems because of Abraham's really good plan to fix God's plan because God's plan wasn't working. Remember that whole thing? Okay? I'm going to do this thing and it'll make things great, right? Well, anybody notice any trouble in the Middle East anytime recent or for thousands of years since? Realistically speaking, when man makes a plan to fix God's plan, it's not a fix, okay? But God always has a redemptive plan. I'm going to tell you something. I'm confident. I know I'm not a big fan of Islam. But can I tell you this? I'm confident that God not only is, but will do fantastic things in the Ishmaelites, okay? Today's Ishmaelites. If for no other reason than that their daddy was Abraham and that God loved him. If for no other reason. Of course, there's plenty of other reasons, like the goodness of God and his heart for people. But he will. You watch. It's happening. It's happening now. And I believe that there will be a very, very large harvest out of that arena because of God. Because God takes and accepts man's dumb plans, okay? He gives us the right to make all these stupid choices. And then, out of his own goodness, redeems our stupidity and finds a way to turn it into something good. Because that's just how he is. He's good. That's what he does. The prophets, throughout the Old Testament time frame, heard and they obeyed God. They spoke the words of God. And often they paid for it with their lives, whether it be they died or whether it be that they just got beat on the whole time or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say? They paid for it. But they listened and spoke the voice of God. Here's one that Dad gave, actually this last Thursday night. Jeremiah 6:19. I want you to hear this. Oh, hear, O earth, Jeremiah speaking for God. Behold, I am bringing disaster on this people. That's Jeremiah saying this. The fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it also. Okay, so I mean, you're not choosing either option here. You're just saying no to everything about me, so I'm going to bring disaster. And the reality is that these guys, they stood, I mean, Jeremiah himself, I believe, was yanked down to Egypt and died there. Not because of his choice, not because he wanted to be there, because he was forced to be there. Even against the word of the Lord that he had proclaimed to the people. Don't go down to Egypt, it won't go well for you. Guess what? But people of God always, always listened and walked, heard the voice of God. They were peculiar. If you read Hebrews 11, I think it is. There's some wacky looking people, just really strange people. You read the scriptures. If you read the scriptures for what they say, there's some strange critters in there. Okay. But the real deal is that they heard God and they obeyed Him. They walked with God. They knew Him and they lived with Him. All of man's plans led to disaster, but the Redeemer, the great Redeemer, the eternal Redeemer, redeems even our dumbest plans, and draws us back into His perfect plan, that He would speak and we would listen, that He would love and we'd love Him back. All right, so now, that's the background. The background is God redeems dumb plans of ours to accomplish, number one, good, but really number one, His original plan, which is to pour out Himself into us and to have us live according to the design specifications with which we were designed, which is to live in coherence with Him, to live with Him being with us, Him speaking into us, living together. Today is Pentecost Sunday, many of you are aware. 50 days after Easter Sunday comes Pentecost Sunday. I'll tell you a little bit about the history of it. It's the day that we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the New Testament church. We celebrate how God decides to inundate all of humanity with His own Holy Spirit, with Himself, for the fulfillment of His original plan. Here's what we remember. Luke chapter 24. Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things." And this is His command. "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Okay, so just a quick point. He told them to do something. Right? It was pretty simple for them to do. They were to stay in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Right? But why was that not simple? Somebody help me out. Not all of them, you're right, not all of them lived there originally, but they were to stay in the city. A lot of them were from Galilee, right? Or other regions around. So it wasn't that trivial for them to do it. Agreed. Go on.
And they had been with Jesus and the people there knew that.
They'd been with Jesus and the people there knew that. Jesus had died, Jesus had resurrected. So there's some impetus, there's some good stuff going on because they saw, many of them saw Jesus, okay? And so they're hanging out with Jesus. But, yeah, the other people knew.
Were
antagonistic to the whole deal. Yeah, that's true. But there's another thing that's happening. Anybody remember? What did you wear the day after Easter? What did you wear the day after Easter? You don't remember. Want to know why? Because it was a long time ago. We're talking 50 days goes by. 50 days isn't that long if you know the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Right? And that's what Jesus said. But they didn't understand that. Okay, so here you go. 50 days later and they're still waiting. And they don't have any notion of that it's going to be on the day of Pentecost, right? They have no notion of that. Pentecost was a date as prescribed in the Old Testament. It had to do with agriculture, okay? And it happened to be 50 days after Passover, okay? So they knew the day of Pentecost, but they didn't know that there would be a fulfillment of the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit arrival. Nevertheless, they're to stay in the city, and they obeyed the voice of God. When God told them to do something, they obeyed Him. So, if we scroll ahead to Acts chapter 1, this is actually kind of a repetition. "Gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, 'You've heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Not many days from now. Not many days from now. "So when they come together, they were asking Him, saying, 'Lord, is it this the time You're restoring the kingdom to Israel?' And He said, 'It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority.'" Guess what? Sometimes you have to be faithful for a little while, not knowing the times and the epochs. Okay? That's all right. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." So that's Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8. Scrolling ahead to Acts chapter 2. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." So many of you are familiar with the scene. Got a bunch of people. I believe they were in an upper room. They hear this noise, this rushing wind, and it fills the whole house, and then they see fire on each of these people. It looks pretty crazy. And then it gets crazier because they start blabbing in other tongues. You know, some of the ones that understood the foreign tongues were shocked, and some of the ones that didn't understand the foreign tongues said they're just drunk. Okay, so, I mean, you know, you see what's going on. But then Peter gets up and he says some things. Okay, some people were mocking. They're full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking a stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of through the prophet Joel." Okay, so he's saying there's something going on here that's a fulfillment of God's plan that Joel spoke about some hundreds of years later, before. And this is what Joel said: "It shall be in the last days that I'll pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will pour in those days forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. And the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So let me just first of all say, Peter said, this is that. This is right now. Today is the day when God is pouring out His Holy Spirit on everyone. All flesh, all mankind gets a piece of God. The Holy Spirit comes within, and we, each of us, has the fullness of God available to us. "I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind." The amazing and incredible opportunity of all ages has come upon you today. That's Peter. He says, this is that day. The very first part of that scripture, that Joel scripture, says, "And it shall be in the last days." That could be interpreted, if you wanted, "in the latter days." But if indeed this is the latter days, back when Peter said it, how much more so is it today, in the last days or the latter days? Here's the days. We are in those latter days, those Joel days, prophesied days, where God is pouring out His Holy Spirit on all mankind in greater ways than ever before. Okay? There's something that He's prophesying. He's not just prophesying that which has already occurred. He's prophesying that which has not yet been. That there's this profusion of a release of the Holy Spirit. And these are those last days. Many of you know. Well, I'll just scroll forward. Continuing in Acts chapter 2, he goes on and he preaches quite a sermon. I'm not going to read the whole of it to you. But he ends his sermon with sort of a pretty tough, punchy line. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that for certain God has made Him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." So he's kind of like punching him in the nose with the crucifixion of Jesus. And this is on the very day of Pentecost. Okay, this is like one of the very first, let's just call it, New Testament sermons ever preached. Okay, because boom, the Holy Spirit arrives and Peter just goes whoosh, okay, with this sermon. So they were pierced to the heart, and Peter and the rest of the apostles, they asked them, "Brethren, what shall we do?" So Peter said, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." And so then, on that day, 3,000 people got saved. Okay, pretty good numbers. I would say that was a pretty effective sermon. I don't know how many people were right in that vicinity. I suppose that, you know, you have obnoxious things starting to happen, like people with fire on them or something like that. And blabbing in other tongues and stuff. Maybe that just attracts the crowds, I guess. But 3,000 seems like a pretty good number for that. I mean, I don't think they were in an amphitheater. I think they were just like someplace. See, I'm trying to say. And so that's a pretty good number, I think, okay? That day, 3,000. The Spirit of God was poured out for a purpose. The Spirit of God was poured out to draw people back into a place where they would live in accordance with His Spirit. And that's you and that's me. And we're called to that place for further purposes, okay? It's not just to get, you know, goosebumps or to you know, enjoy the process, okay? I want you to enjoy the process. You know, might as well. You're in it. Do it. But we're called there for a purpose, okay? And you can read that right at the end of the... And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our purpose is to be witnesses, to be observably different, to be witnesses, to be those that demonstrate that the power of God, the presence of God, the life of God has come forth upon us. Such that everyone calls on the name of the Lord and is saved. Down at the end of Acts chapter 2, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So today, I just want to proclaim to you something. Today, you know, we commemorate this day of Pentecost. We remember it 50 days after Easter, and we it's just a date on the calendar. Or maybe it's a day for us to really just open ourselves up and receive. Now, Lee gave a tongue and Lee gave the interpretation that said, I've got more for you. I've got stuff that you haven't grabbed a hold of yet. I want to give you more. I want there to be more of me in you, more of me through you. That's what the tongue interpretation. Dave came up and said, crawl up on daddy's lap and get more. I'm totally in agreement with both of those words. Those are right, correct. Let me just say to you, what is past for Christianity has been so watered down that people don't want it, okay? But let me just say that what is real Christianity looks like what Peter was talking about on the first day of Pentecost. Like what Jesus was talking about when he talked to Nicodemus and he said, the Spirit is like a wind. And he says, you know where the wind is. The wind, you know where it's coming from, where it's going to. You know how it blows. You can hear the sound of it. You don't know exactly where it's coming from or where it's going to, but this is what you know. The wind happened. You just don't know much. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's what he said. So the wind comes. Help me, Dad. The wind blows where it wishes, and you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's John chapter 3, Jesus to Nicodemus, okay? So that should be how you look. Kind of a little bit unpredictable. I don't know if you have to have flames on the top of your head or not, okay? You know, those are things I don't decide, okay? But you should look different, okay? And there ought to be something strange about you that is somewhat attractive. Or maybe a little bit strange and scary. Do you have a comment? I thought you didn't. Okay. Let me just say, the Holy Spirit is sent to you to give you everything of God, okay? Don't be satisfied with less. Be satisfied with more. Get more. We talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit all the time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. We talk about them. We rattle them off like they're just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's your portion. Because you have received the Spirit. You want more? Get more. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Get more. We talk about the gifts, and we operate in the gifts. We see healings, and we see prophecy and tongues. Want more? Get more. You see, when Joel prophesies, on those days I will pour out my spirit, he's not really talking about, you know, drip, 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 dropperfuls. He's talking about a gusher. See, we should expect an awful lot out of a poured out Holy Spirit. And the invitation from God this morning through Lee was that we should expect and desire more. I want us in this time, and this is your assignment. Your assignment. You go to your God. I'm not saying right in, you know, in church, whatever. I want you to do it on your time, okay? On your time, I want you to go to God. I want you to ask God, what more do you have for me to express? And if He gives you too much, then say, how much, you know, what more do you have to give me for today? And if He gives you too much, then say, what more do you have to give me for the next hour or minute? Okay? But don't forget all the things that He says. Believe Him. He's got much for you. In the name of Jesus, I just declare a release of the Holy Spirit over these gathered here today. I release Holy Spirit, fall fresh on these, your precious ones. Lord, You've invited us to expect more, so we want to do that. We intentionally choose to expect more right now. We put our expectations higher. We want more of what You have. We want to release Your power. We want to release Your presence. We want to release all Your good gifts. More than we've ever done before. We believe You. And so today we accept by faith more. So we know about the fruits of the Spirit, but there's also the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are all these things that you get to distribute. God says, here, Larry, here's a gift of healing. Go give it to that guy that needs healing. God says, here, Pat, here's a word of prophecy. Go give it to somebody that they need. Okay? You are the distributor of the gifts of God. He has great gifts, and you're the one who has, the Holy Spirit has come upon, and you get to distribute these gifts. He pours into you. Yes, He gives you the gift, but it's so that you can give it to someone else. Administration, serving, teaching, giving, leadership, compassion. I'm looking at various lists from Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians. Apostles, pastoring, tongues, miracles, wisdom, knowledge, distinguishing of spirits, faith, exhortation, prophecy. All of these things. These are fantastic things. I will pour out my Holy Spirit. Close your eyes. Open your hands. Listen to Him say, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. Listen to Him say that. I will pour out my Holy Spirit on you. I will pour out my Holy Spirit on you. Let's just say yes, Lord. Say, I'll take more. Everything You want for me, I'll take more. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Lord, I pray for faith to believe for more, for each of these, Your precious ones. More. We open our hearts to receive more. But, Lord, mostly we want more of You. In every way, You want to give us more of You. More of You, we pray. More of You, we pray. More. More of You. More. I talk to you, and I want you to have more. And there's a reason for more, okay? There are those in your spheres of influence that need more. And yeah, you know what? Sometimes some of your junk, some of your dumb things, some of your bad plans, okay, you know, get in their way, right? Right? Because they see your dumb this or your that. Ask the Lord to get rid of that or redeem it or do whatever He's got to, but ask Him for more. Because honestly, I'm going to tell you, there is fruit for you in this coming season. And in this season that begins now, okay, there is fruit for you as you operate in the Holy Spirit. As you operate in the fruit and in the gifts of the Spirit, there is kingdom fruit. It is time for harvest, and you ought to be a reaper, okay? So I'm just letting you know, there's opportunity for you to sow, there's opportunity for you to be reaping in lives. And I just want you to understand it, that right now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare over you a refreshing of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be led by God, to hear His voice, to know Him, to speak His words, to release His gifts, to actually live in His nature and to release His nature into people around you. I just release an anointing over you for more. In Jesus' name.
This morning, Rick Joyner sent out one of his little bulletins and it happens to be in your bulletin, but it came this morning. I printed it and put it in your bulletin. And Rick Joyner is talking about the bride of Christ, which will be without spot or wrinkle, and the working of the Spirit to accomplish that in the current body of Christ. Because I think he thinks and we think we're in that last day, the latter day, the latter part of the last days. And the intent of the Spirit of God is to have prepared a bride without spot or wrinkle, and it's now to be done. It's now to accomplish it.
Let me just give you... Okay, so... Here's the picture, and I want you to hear with some level of clarity what I'm trying to say to you. God is accomplishing perfection out of you. He is working to clean you up. I agree with that. It's a fact. He wants you to be that, okay? He's also accomplishing through you His power and a release of His presence, the release of His nature via the fruits of the Spirit, that stuff, His nature, His gifts, His power gifts, His healing, His life, all that. All of those are truths that I want you to understand. Those are important truths. But I want you to hear one thing. The key issue always is you hooking up with Him, knowing His voice, hearing Him, and walking with Him there. Okay, now, yes, in that process, you're going to get cleaned up. In that process, you're going to put out more, okay? And there'll be more of the giftings and more of the fruit, okay? More. And it needs to be that way, okay? It must be. And because of that, there will be harvest, okay? That's good. That's all good. But first things first. Central things central. Let me just tell you, the reason I warn you is because mankind is really good at making up good plans. We can measure ourselves and do these things by all sorts of great ways, okay? Here's the law, there's kings, there's my own opinion, whatever, okay? Jesus actually warns us. Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. He tells us to do those things. All right? So I'm not against any of those things, okay? So do them, okay? But many will say, didn't we do this stuff? And his response is incredibly indicative. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Oops. First things didn't get first. Oops, the original and only real plan of God, which is you need me and I will be with you. That thing right there got put into a secondary state because I'm, you know, counting my miracles and how many demons I tossed on their can or prophesied how many times. Okay, so be careful. You're supposed to do that stuff. We must be that. But it's right out of one thing. It's right out of knowing Him, hearing Him, walking with Him. And so don't put a notch in your belt every time you get another one of the whatevers, okay? You know? Cause that, you know, honestly, that count really doesn't, that's His goodness being distributed through you. That's good. I'm happy. We gotta do it. But the key issue is, are you hearing? Are you living, walking day to day? He goes on to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The truth is that those that operate in trying to measure themselves by some other measurement besides knowing God put themselves under law, and everyone under law is condemned. It's a terrible place to be. No one ever wants to be under law. Okay, under law is just a terrible place to find yourself in judgment because you will never succeed in that. The reality is, you need to know Him. The key issue is knowing Him. So I'm going to tell you something again. And if I can say this to you and you can hear it, I know that the Holy Spirit is available to you more than you've ever understood or received before. And He wants to lead you, to guide you, to speak to you, to have you listen. And He wants, because of that and through that, to make your very person represent the goodness of God accurately and beautifully. And He wants your very person to release the power and the presence of God in perfect and accurate ways. And because of that, He wants you to be a catalyst for the salvation of many. All who would call on the name of the Lord would be saved.
He's still looking for a kingdom of priests.
He's looking for a kingdom of priests. He's never stopped. That was His original plan. He never got over it. Okay? He never decided to do something really different. He was always interested in that original plan to have a kingdom of priests. Now let me say to you, you are called to have more. I don't know if you can feel it today, but I have such a strong sense of it today that I want you to just, even again, close your eyes, put your expectation on God, that He would pour into you Himself, and that He would raise your expectations, that He would raise your every part of you that would be drawn into knowing that He's got more for you. So that every moment of every day you would have your eyes on Him to release more of Him. His reflected glory. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. Refresh us in the presence of the Father. Cause us to see Father and know Him like we've never known Him before. Cause us to reflect His glory in every facet of who we are. Cause us to be just like our Daddy, we pray. Yes, in His holiness. Yes, in His benevolence. Yes, in His generosity. In His distribution of goodness. Yes, in every facet. But we just want You. We want to know You. In every way, we want to know You. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. Holy Spirit, empower us. Holy Spirit, propel us. Holy Spirit, keep us close to Father's heart. Holy Spirit, make us to know and live in the midst of these latter days with Father's person and presence as our every breath, both in and out, our every breath, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he give you peace. In Jesus' name. Love you all. Many blessings upon you. Go.